let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing a song or two. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, for life and health and strength. Lord, for the lovely weather that we have, for being able to be here, and the freedom that we still have to do this. I pray you, Lord, that you would bless this time in your presence, for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be, Lord. I pray that you would bless the teaching and the preaching of the whole counsel of God's word. I pray especially this morning for Norma, for Steve, for Pat, for Mary Ann, for Christine, for Winston and Nicolette, for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang as well. For those that have been and gone, I don't know if you mentioned Norman, but I just pray for him, Lord, as he plans a visit to the hospital. And Lord, most importantly, we pray for your will to be done, not just in the things that's going on in other people's lives, but also in your own. Lord, I just thank you for not being done with us, and I pray you, Lord, your presence this morning. And we ask all these things, Lord, we leave them at your feet. We pray that you would grant them according to your will. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. We're going to begin in the big black hymn book, the big one. Number 138, a special request for the Haven of Rest. 138, the Haven of Rest. Thank you. See the whenever they do that on TV, they make the subject all blurry. But I remember somebody saying one time, if you blur your eyes and look at them, you can see them perfectly well. Anyway, I'll get someone to pixelate me out and you'll not be able to tell the difference. Psalm 16, the Word of God says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Thank you very much for your good time and attention there. I just want to take a moment or two and open the floor for anyone that may have any prayer requests. Does anybody have any this morning?
For salvation, Nicole.
Salvation for Nicole. Give me 2 seconds. Is this a work colleague?
No, I was talking about
the lady
bus.
On the bus.
Yeah.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Under salvation?
Yes.
You have a bunch of folks on the bus. I think you even have the bus driver on there as well.
Yeah.
Is he still the same guy, Jonathan?
I don't really see him all the time, but whenever I see him, it's just like, I think he had a health care a couple of years ago.
Well, the names are under the salvation list there, so please do. Don't forget Nicole. I'd like for you to pray for Norman and for Steve. Norman had difficulties a couple of years ago with swelling in one of his legs, and I think he had clots in his lungs after taking one of the COVID injections. And he has swelling in his leg again, and he had a fever yesterday all over. So please do pray for him. He is supposed to be in an accident emergency. We said for him to call back if a course of oral antibiotics didn't work. So I hope and pray he is up there. I will find out more after the service. But please do pray for Norman. And don't forget Steve as well. Steve is doing better than he was, but he still has a long way to go. Please pray for him and pray for Pat. And don't forget to pray for each other. Miss Frank will be coming back this way in the next few weeks up for hospital for surgery. So please do pray for him and for his mum and dad. It's not very much fun at all whenever people that you love have to go into hospital, so please do pray for him. Pray for Mary Ann and Christine, for Winston and Nicolette. Pray for Colin too, and pray for each other. It's very important that we remember each other in prayer. We would also ask if you would continue to pray for Monica's mum. She has been severely weakened over the past few years with a very bad break in her leg, and then some clots that led to a temporary stroke. And it's taken her a long time to come around from those things, as a result of which she is quite weak. So please do pray for Pat, Monica's mother. Pray for our country. Pray for the world. Things are happening just like the Bible said they would. And there are wars and rumors of wars everywhere, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. And I know it is uncertain times, but we need to keep our eyes upon the Lord, just like that Psalm says, that we need to put our faith in him. We should trust in him and not be afraid. Interesting times, but even when I heard a Christian say, even when the outlook's bad, look up. Instead of looking out, look up. I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to be? Private prayer requests. Everybody here has private prayer requests, yes. Okay, thank you. Well, I'm going to ask you if you would lead us in a wee word of prayer there, if that's okay, brother. Thank you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Dear Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for bringing us safely through another week, Lord. We will be at the forefront of the beginning of this coming week, Lord. We will be at the forefront in our activities and our walk. We will close our walk with you, Lord. Whenever we do acceptable in our sight, Lord, especially in the service tonight, Lord, and be acceptable in our sight and be sweet to you, Lord, and our prayers rise up to you, Lord. Pray for us and grant us Frank, give him strength and give him mercy to come back for an operation. And Lord, make the operation safe and successful. Frank's operation, Lord, and bless him. Keep him up with Frank and Dr. Shine as well, Lord, as well, Lord. Also, with Winston and Nicolette, and with them also, Lord, bring them to our church, Lord, and Lord, if not, bring them to all the time, please, and church, Lord, and draw to walk to you. Also, with Paul, thank you for bringing them safely and securely back to here, Lord. Bring them back to church, Lord, and give them strength, Lord, and draw them closer walk to you as well, Lord. Save Stephen Collins, draw, Lord, save their souls, and I pray, Lord, also, shed blood for them as well, Lord. Give them to Christy, Lord, wherever they are, and Lord, bring them to the church, Bible, even church, Lord, and help them on their walk with you, Lord. Also, for Pat and Steve, give Pat and our respite, Lord, their strength, Lord, and help her in this difficult time with Steve, Lord. With Steve, this is on behalf, Lord, strengthen him, uphold him, give him strength, Lord, and help him come back to full recovery, Lord, and heal his heart, Lord, and give him strength and provide for him and meet his need that we do in all, and bless him and keep him as well, Lord. Also, give him, Lord, give him his leg, Lord. And the chills and the fever, Lord, we might take it away, Lord, and help the take away, if not, Lord, help the doctor diagnose the condition that he has, Lord, and we will help him get there, Lord, and have a full remission, Lord, and give us strength as well, Lord. We also would have to you, Lord, give us strength, Lord, heal our mind and power, give us strength, Lord, and also with John Bradfield, Lord, help him in his activities, Lord, and we might strengthen him as well, Lord. John, close walk, especially in the Presbyterian Church, and help him to talk to people about Jesus Christ, Lord, as well. If Mark's come to the gospel, Lord, you may bless it and give a function from the Holy Spirit, Lord, and use it to direct our lives and direct our past more in line with the Lord, Lord, for these guys again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Okay. We're changing books again. This time we're going to the wee black book. We'd like to take a turn to number 13. Number 13 is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. This is an old favorite. Hymn number 13, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Our land, I am
me. We're going to sing one more out of the wee black book before we open our Bibles this morning. Just scoot across a page or two to number 16. Number 16 is He Lifted Me, and you can't sing that one sitting down, so lift yourselves out of your seats. We will sing number 16. First 14 or 15 verses of this portion of God's Word. The title for the message this morning, I don't know what the one for this evening will be, but for this morning it is Giving What You Got. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. We're going to stop there. Speaking on the subject of giving what you got, and we are taking verses 7, 8, 9, and 10 of a conversation that the Lord had with the woman at the well in Samaria as our text. And amen. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, I pray your good hand upon us as we spend this time in your word. Please bless us, Lord. And anybody that's standing to preach, to teach, or to lead, or even to apply the word of God to their lives, I pray you, Lord, that you would bless them. I pray you, Father, for Stan and the folks in Bangor. I pray you for Pastor Asquith and the folks over at Black Creek Baptist, for Phil Seeley and the folks of Grace Bible, for the many others that love you and are preaching the gospel, for folks to get saved and for folks to get edified, Lord, one way or the other. Please help us this morning, and please be one of our number. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. This is not a strange portion of God's word. This bit that we have just read speaks of this woman at the well in Samaria. We all know the story, how she was married 5 times. We haven't read that bit. She was living with number 6, and she met the perfect man, number 7. Number 7 is the number of perfection. It is the Lord Jesus, which pretty much showed that she never needed Mr. Right. She just needed the Lord as her Savior. And we see this example, this type played out again whenever it comes to their discussion about the water. In verse number 13 and 14, the Lord said to her, If you drink of this water, if you live off of things of the earth, you're going to want them again and again and again. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. In other words, the things of this world are temporary. Sometimes they're even hurtful. But the things of God are eternal. And you don't need to go back over them again. You never have to get saved again. Yes, there is always a struggle to live for the Lord, but you'll never have to get saved again once you're honestly and truly saved by your repentance from your sins and your trust in Christ as your Savior. I want to show you a pattern here. We're going to see the first example here and now. We're going to refer to a few other examples as we go on with the message. The Lord asks the woman for some water. Something that is well within her means. She is quite literally fully equipped to provide it. She has the bucket. or she has the vessel, and she has the position, it's easily achievable, and with a little elbow grease, because that's all it takes to drop the bucket down into the well and to draw it up again, it is something that she could do. He never asked her for the keys to Herod's treasuries. He never asked her for the first rain that fell from the clouds. He never asked her to go and, as he spoke to Job, to lift Leviathan out of the water on a hook. He never asked for things that were beyond her. He never asked her to storm the gates of Rome. He didn't ask that. And he never asked her to go down to paradise to bring people back up from the dead. None of those things, all of those things were completely beyond her means, completely impossible. He asked the woman for something that was well within her means. And maybe it's a measure of where she was at in her life. What type of person that she is. Would she sacrifice a little bit of her time, a little bit of her effort, a little bit of what she has available to get that thing which she really, really needs? Something which is temporary, which will disappear in the fullness of time, for something that will never let her down. Now, the Bible never actually records if Jesus ever got a drink of water. I'm assuming that he did. But it does record the next little bit of the conversation. First of all, she's working at the well. The Lord is there and asks her for water. And he just stands in line. He waits his turn. He doesn't force himself. He's a gentleman. And then, all of a sudden, the Lord starts speaking to her about this thing which is designed to draw her to a realization that she needs a Savior. And we all know that God's offer to her of the living water, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the saving of her soul, it wasn't a pie in the sky either. It was easily achievable by God. He had been doing it for thousands of years up until this point, and he's been doing it for thousands of years ever since then. We know at the end of it all that due to this little bit of a conversation, due to the promise of God, and we see the eventual fulfillment of that promise, that many people got saved. The woman at the well, she ran off to tell the men, the six men, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Messiah? And we have the testimony of the men at the very end of the account that say, now we believe him, not because of what you said, but because we have heard him for ourselves. And every single one of these people, they did something that was within their power to do. They repented of their sins. They turned themselves away from their sins and they turned towards Jesus. And Jesus gave them something that was in his power and his authority to do, which was to save their souls. They gave what they had. And God still gives what he has. If you were to go to 1 Kings 17... verse number 8, I'm going to read a little bit about Elijah. 1 Kings 17 and verse number 8, this is the word of God to Elijah during the great famine. The Lord said, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meat in the barrel, and a little oil in the cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, and this is the promise of God. Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of mead shall not waste, and neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of mead wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Again, we have an instance where man met with God, where there was a giving up of something that was completely within the power, in this case, of the widow woman, to give up a little bit of oil, a little bit of bread, to honour God, to do for the man. And in return, the Lord promised, gave her his promise, that he would give her something, not everlasting, but everlasting right up until the end of the judgment that God was visiting upon Israel. And that's exactly what happened. She gave what she had, which was a little bit of oil and a little bit of meat, a little cake and a mouthful of water. And God gave her what he had, something that was everlasting, in quotes. Now, I want to read about another instance, maybe a little bit more controversial, this one back in Genesis 22. I've only got a couple of verses that I'd like to read. And it says, and it came to pass that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. That's in Genesis 22 and verse number 1. And we know that Abraham was perfectly prepared to give his son, trusting in the promise that God had already given him, that he would make of his son a great nation. So whether he was going to stop him, whether he would raise him back to life, I don't know what it was. Well, we know what God was going to do because we're reading it as a historical fact. But God said, give me your son, which was within Abraham's power to give, and I will give you a nation. And that was within God's power to give, and we know looking back that that's exactly what happened. If we go just a little bit farther back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 6, the words of God to Noah are about Noah. And the word of God says that it repented him that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was able to listen to the Lord, and we do know that for all the years of his life, pretty much, Noah obeyed the Lord. And God said to Noah, give me your life, and I will give you the world. And that's exactly what happened. Noah obeyed God and dedicated his life in the sight of God and man to the building of the ark, to the saving of two of every kind of animal. And God gave him the entire world. He gave what he could give, his life. And God gave what he can give, which is pretty much anything and everything, and he gave him the world. I want to read a couple more that maybe hit a little bit closer to home. If we were to go forward to the book of Malachi, In fact, no, let's go forward to the book of Acts. We'll come back to the book of Malachi. We're going to read about a certain man and woman named Ananias and Sapphira, or Sapphira. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 1. We read about two people whom I believe believed in God, but were very, very worldly. They saw many of God's people selling possessions and bringing them the money for them and leaving them at the disciples' feet, and people were probably giving them a good pat in the back. But all that they saw was the praise and the glory for bringing these gifts. They didn't see the service and the relationship with God that went behind them. And so in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 1, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And here is an instance where people had something that was completely within their power. In fact, Peter even says it was completely in your power and in your authority. When you try to steal glory from God, and God took their lives. Bear in mind, I do believe that they were believers. I do believe that they were, in quotes, Christians, because God took them home. Now back to Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the feast, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, give me a tenth of what you have within your power, and I will give you what resides within my power. Blessings, protection, prosperity, that's what it actually says there. We don't give for the prosperity, we give for to honor God, and because God has given to us, we give back to him. All of these souls, and I'm sure there's more examples in the Word of God, and many others, when they were asked of God to say or to do a little thing, or even a big thing, it might have seemed like a big thing for at the time, it was always and only ever asked of them to do what was within their power. And I know as you walk and talk with God, and as you grow, and as you read and study and pray, as you ask questions, as you converse with God, and even with other believers, you will find out that you are prepared to do more for God. But in this country, if God asked us to do anything, to go and preach in the street corner, to hand a leaflet to someone, to spend a day out in the streets crying out like Jeremiah did for souls to be saved and to turn from their wicked ways, it would still be within our power. It is within our power to do those things. It is within our power to reach into our wallets and to take out our money and to put it in the plate. It is within our power to go home to our cupboards, to open what's in our cupboards and to put it in a pan and heat it and eat it. All of these things are within our power to do. The things that God asked for these people, these characters, these historical figures, were all within their power. And God will, the point I'm trying to make is, without laboring it too much, God will only ever ask you to do something that is within your power. And it might be a little thing. Like the widow of Zarephath, make me a cake first. Give me a bite. Like the widow, the woman at the well. Just pull me up enough for a drink of water. Little things. But for the right spirit and the right attitude, God bless those souls. Any time that the Lord ever asks you to do anything, he's not going to ask you to do impossible things. I don't think he's going to ask anyone to build an ark. The Lord made the perfect ark of our salvation 2,000 years ago. And I don't think he's going to ask for you to lead tens of thousands of people across deserts. I don't think he's going to ask to do that. Or march around the Derry walls 7 times, what is it, 6 times for 6 days, and then 7 times on the Sunday, and give it a mighty shout, and the walls fall down. He's not asking us to do those things. Those things have been done. The examples have been set. But there are things that God would ask us to do. I'm not giving off about tithes and offerings. It's one of those things that always sits in people's minds. It's just one of the things that God asks us to do. God also asks us to praise him. Now, whether that's in song, or whether that's fighting his corner whenever people are saying bad things about Christians or bad things about God, if you stand up and say, look, God has never done me any wrong at all. God saved my soul. God has directed my paths. And whenever I am prepared to listen to him, life just goes so much more easily. God will fight your corner. The Bible says, if you confess me on earth before men, I will confess you in heaven before my Father. Whenever we take time in prayer, hey, that's pretty much a quid pro quo, and I mean that in the most unbalanced state. We are commanded, God would love to hear from us, but not only that, we need to go and talk to God. And whenever we do, there are many times our feelings will change in his presence, our thoughts will change in his presence. And sometimes even just talking through things with God will give you a solution to your problem and a divine power to carry it out. When the Lord asks us to study his word and we put in an hour or two studying his word and we come across a subject that we think, hey, that's quite neat. Or we come across a verse that we say, hey, that's a cool verse, and you underline it and maybe write it down and commit it to your memory. You will find there's power in installing that in your heart and mind that will build you into a better Christian. Whenever it comes to witnessing again and telling others about the great things that he has done for you. What a lot of Christians don't realize, there's that little promise in the Bible. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. That's for Christians. That is for Christians who are wondering whether or not to tell other people about God. Because whenever you tell people about God, people are going to start watching you to see if God is really working in your life. And you're going to need God to work in your life. So when you say, God's great, he makes the sun shine on the just and on the unjust. It's nice to see it. He helped me with company car. He helped me get my house. He helped me get this wonderful job in Bethel Baptist Church. And I love it. And when you do that, Jesus says, do you see Mark? Mark is standing up and fighting your corner, Lord. Father, what does he need? Father, he needs X, Y, and Z. And God, our Father, will dispatch angels to provide X and Y, and maybe direct our paths slightly differently, so if we stumble across Z, God will confess us in heaven before his Father, our Father. But all of the things that we are ever asked to do, that we are ever asked to dig out, to set out for the world, they're within our power and authority to do. And we need to realize that. It's not a magical thing. It is a quite literal. It's a matter of you, as the Bible says, setting your face as a flint, knowing it shall not be ashamed, and honoring the Savior, the God that saved your soul. Now, the other side of this relationship, which we saw mentioned there quite a few times, we think, well, there were a few examples of people doing for God, but God doing right back for them again. How does that apply to us today? Well, in two or three of the Gospels, there is a recording of a conversation between the Lord and the disciples. And I'm going to read from Matthew 19 and verse 27. The Lord was talking to the disciples in Matthew 19 and verse 27. And Peter said to him, Lord, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily, in other words, truthfully, this is a real thing, Jesus, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That was for the disciples. And everyone, that's you and me, that have forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And some of the things that God offers are beyond the reach of man. Even the peace that passeth all understanding, the one thing that seems so simple, doesn't depend upon how much money you have. It doesn't depend upon your youth, your health, your finances, your education. It depends upon your walk with God. It depends upon short counts with God. Like it says in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace which passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That one time you sit down and learn a verse of Scripture, a verse of Scripture that God has highlighted to you, I guarantee you will have use every day of your life for yourself, or many times in your life to share with others. There's peace. There's a direction, a different direction. Many people live their lives for themselves, for sensation and pleasure and riches. And whenever they start to listen to God, even Christians many times live that way, they find that the life is easier on the soul, easier on the family, easier on the health, and easier on the finances. Just by listening to God. A lot of the things, all of these things are beyond the reach of man, but easily within the reach of God. In fact, I think it was summed up very well whenever the Lord was speaking with the rich young ruler. whenever the Lord was explaining to the disciples, says basically how difficult it is for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with man it's impossible, but with not for God, for with God all things are possible. We need to remember that. We need to remember that. Salvation impossible with man, but possible with God. Assurance of salvation. It's impossible with man, but eminently possible with God. The peace, we've already read about that. Contentment. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content with food and raiment, the Bible says. Purpose. What purpose could any government, any man give another man that would see him good in his youth and in his maturity and in his old age? Even on a sickbed, what purpose could there be but the saving of souls? What other power is there that really affects a man than the power of God that comes from the knowing of the scriptures and applying it to your life? What better fellowship is there than to have the friend that sticketh closer than a brother? And what better assurance of that you walk with God is there but an answer to prayer? Divine help. The promise of a home in heaven with God for the endless ages of eternity. That's what that said right there and then. But also, a bunch of that stuff will happen here and now. That's what Jesus said. Any Christian that has spent any time in God's company or in God's service will tell you that the life that God gives is better than the life they used to live without God. Easily 100 times better. Or whichever part you gave to God. I'll give you the simplest of little examples. As you know, I quite enjoy a yarn, a science fiction flick. Lasers, spaceships, spacemen, robots, all that stuff. I think I was a born-again science fiction nerd in 1975 when Star Wars came out. I think it was back then. And all the things you used to read in books, someone made a movie of it. But anyway, it's an amazing thing, but the world will always try and trip you up and take you away from church. But I found that on a Wednesday evening, Star Trek started at 6 o'clock and ended at 10 to 7. Which meant that if I wanted to watch that, I had to be literally sitting with my coat on, my shoes on, my Bible beside me, ready to run out the door as soon as the credits rolled, and I would get here for about 7:05. Just a little bit late. Too late to talk to anybody, too late to have any fellowship, but I would get here for 95% of the service. Until one day, the Lord put it upon my heart to go to church at about, head for church about 6:30. And I was thinking, well, if I go to church at 6:30, I'll only get to see the first 15 or 20 minutes of Star Trek. And the Lord quite literally said to me, you have two video recorders sitting under your TV. Why don't you just put a tape in one and press the record button at 6:00? And I thought, I'll try it your way. And so I did. And I went and I got to speak to people for a little bit more. I got to be here in time and unhurried. My mind more at rest and ready to enjoy the fellowship and the praises and the preaching of the cross. And you know what? Whenever I got home again, I enjoyed that silly episode of Star Trek so much more. Simply by doing things God's way. For anything that you give up, that you really need to give up for God, or that God asks you to do, He has something so much better in store for you. You remember the title for the message is given what you got. What you and I have got. Some people might have more God than others. Just bear in mind the Bible says that your life is not not all about the abundance of the things that you might get and fill your pockets with. You might got quite a lot. And you might have a bit more than somebody else or a bit less than another person. And if God asks you for a little bit of what you got, and you give it to God, and he says, I'll give you a little bit of what I got, I'm going to guarantee you right now, the little bit that God has is hugely greater than the little bit that he has asked you for. Don't ever think you will. God will never be in your debt. You will never be able to say, I gave up this for God and he shortchanged me. That will never happen. With messages like this, I can't help but think about a Christian man that had a huge amount of wealth and belongings, but he was always giving stuff away. And he was asked by a friend, how is it that you have so much? And he says, you know what, I just keep shoveling this stuff out. And as I shovel it out, God shovels it in. And his shovel is just so much bigger. You give what you got to God. Believe you me, it'll raise your eyebrows just exactly how much he has got to give back to you again. Stopping there. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. Closing hymn this morning. I don't think I have it chosen yet, or do I? Oh yes, we do. Hymn number 319. 319 is just a closer walk with thee. If you're able, let's stand as we sing. I thank you, Lord, for this day, for this little bit of time set aside from the world. Please bless the teaching and preaching of it to us. Help us, Lord, to learn and grow. Please be with Norman, I pray, Pat and Steve, Winston, Nicolette, Frank, Colin, Marianne, Christine, those that have been and gone, Lord, those that have stepped away and fallen down, I pray, Lord, that you would restore them to walking and talking with you. Please bless us as we part company, Father, and we pray you see us back the next appointed time. Just love you and thank you.